Start the recording. Start the
Okay,
recording.
okay,
Start the
okay.
recording. Start the recording.
The recording
Okay, has
started.
anyone been on social media?
Why? What is wrong with you?
Might
Oh my God, are you serious?
Joshua Valle, get on the podcast.
Yes.
Bye. Oh, they reactivated all of their the United at the Jonas Brothers fucking concert.
What?
Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm actually tweaking out. Okay.
Like
Okay.
they sang at
Okay,
the
I'm gonna calm
Jonas
down.
Brothers concert, it says that they started following Camila again.
Yeah, and Camila commented on the
Like hearts on the
video.
Fifth Harmony
I know
post.
she
Yeah.
commented hearts. She commented hearts. Kidding you, in the past few weeks, I've been thinking about them so much and thinking
Oh my God, I okay.
oh my
You're
God.
not the reason they're back together.
I am
You're just
spiritually,
not.
I've been
You're
sending them so
not.
much energy.
Dinah out of breath, Ali no rhythm, Normani overperforming, and Lauren high as a kite.
Fuck
2016, we're
off. You
back.
don't fucking know them. You don't know what they've been through.
They
I don't
said
give a fuck.
2016, we're back.
I have to email places like immediately. I need to interview them.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, there's nothing
Okay.
more I need on this fucking
Okay.
planet than to interview them.
I would love to interview One Direction, but we can't do that because we killed Liam Payne.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You don't know,
Why?
have you seen what has fucking happened? Sorry.
About Max?
No.
What's happening? Did Donald Trump die?
This has nothing to
No.
do with a boy. Fifth
What?
Harmony is back together.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. You just find out right now? Yeah, she's like losing it. She joined the call and was
And
like,
they
"Have you
still
seen
can't dance
social
for
media?"
shit. Say that about them. Don't say that. Don't say that because they mean something to me.
It's
Oh
fine. Like, no, it's
my God.
fine. They're
Dude.
still
Dude.
back. I love Normani. Like, Liam.
I
Important.
like how you're like, something with Max.
I'm spinning you around in Times Square.
It was Max. He spun me around in Dime Square in a circle,
Here. Wait,
and I
I
ran
can't
and
believe
jumped into his
you didn't know
arms.
that. I feel like people would have texted you. People would have texted
No
you.
one fucking texted me, which is fucked up. So how are you?
I'm good. I went to the Los Angeles Apparel store at 10 a.m. in the morning.
Oh,
Wait, the what?
beautiful.
The Los Angeles Apparel
It
store.
just opened.
Oh, slay. Yeah,
How
it's
was
like
that?
it's really serious for me, actually.
Are you wearing it now, or is that just a tube top?
Oh.
Oh,
Okay,
whatever.
Mackenzie, I have to tell you, I was listening to Sabrina Carpenter's new album on the plane ride from Costa Rica, and I didn't like it that much. And then I saw your video of you dancing on Twitter, and then I started dancing to all the songs, and now I love it. It's honestly,
Oh
honestly, okay. Actually, I wanted to come in hot and talk about Sabrina.
okay, yeah,
Okay,
talk
yeah,
about
let's
her.
talk about it.
Okay.
I was talking to somebody today, like a boy, and he was like, "I'm gonna throw on the Sabrina Carpenter album right now." And I was like, "Don't do that! It's for girls." I feel like I wasn't really keen to that like type of thing until I was about 23. Like I feel like I was so like anti-pop and thought that I was like above it, and then just like I don't know, you meet a magical gay guy and one day you're in touch with like the divine feminine and you're like Sabrina Carpenter is a mystic healer and like Nobody's Son is the best song ever.
Like,
True.
well, it's in boys don't like her.
They don't have
They
to
don't get
because
it. And it's
she's
and
Tweety Bird
true.
and
Pretty
Tweety Bird
bird.
is not for boys, but I feel like her approach to sexuality is kind of immature, but it's the way that all women think secretly at the end of the day. Like, we can kind of try to
Yeah.
intellectualize our se sexuality as much as we can, but at the end of the day, it's like, this is my house tour. I can't wait for you to decide. You know, like she is kind of a genius. And I don't know. I like kind of being in touch with a girlier side of sexuality, I think. Like, I think, you know, you have your Lanas, which is like, you know, that's kind of darker. She has like lighter sides, but like Sabrina's kind of approach to sex is very like eye-opening for me. And I don't think a lot of men really, really understand that. And I don't really want them to. Like, I don't need men to know how low-key idiotic I actually am, you know?
But I think that it's like secretly smart is the thing. Like, I
No,
don't think there's anything
yeah.
stupid about it.
She's a genius.
Yeah,
I
she's a
think it is. I
genius.
just think it's so like pure periodic table mineral and like
Periodic table.
girly sexuality.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, okay. So,
I
speaking
love
of
him.
sex, do you think that
Oh.
you could teach us how to have it?
For this, like all
Because
day.
this is really why we got you on here.
Like,
Can
and
you
how to
dance?
dance.
And can
Yeah.
you also teach us how to have sex on the
Yeah. Those are
podcast
kind of
too?
like the two
Thank you.
things. Oh, I hate that, like, on the low. No, I mean, it's my fault, number one. Sex. I don't know. I feel like I used to be super duper afraid of sex. And I, you know, like I kind of take it really seriously. Like I don't really throw my heart around like ever. Like I don't really want to. It's not really my style. But I used to be so afraid of like my body, I think, for so long. Like I thought I was just like the ugliest girl. And if you can go back and like watch some of my diary videos, like it is evident, or even like in my posts over the years, like if you scroll back on my Instagram, like I carried myself with like a confidence that was so low, and it got me into so many weird situations where I was just kind of like, you know, looking for validation in like all of the wrong places, and having sex that just wasn't really like equating to me. And I remember when I lost my virginity, I was kind of shocked because I was like, okay, so this is the thing that makes everybody an adult and everyone's like fucking crazy about, and blah blah blah. I was like, okay, life is low-key lackluster as hell. Like, but I don't know. I think as I've gotten older and a couple like bad things have happened to me that I don't really care to share, I've really just been like, fuck it, like about like my body and stuff. And like, I really like getting creative and being like a crazy sex girl sometimes. Like, and it's funny that like my friends know that, even though like I haven't like slept with the most people ever in the world, you know. It's like I am really in, I would say, like a second stage of not adolescence, but just like of kind of discovering like what I like and like how like my body moves. And I'm like really fascinated by it. I wish I could talk about it more without sounding like the biggest pervert in the world, or like, you know, like Squirt Master 9000 or something. Like, I just like, I, yeah, sorry if that's like a long answer. It's something that's
No.
in my mind. Like I've always just kind of loved to like perform also. And I think that the performance of sex is one that's so like intimate, and it's also a performance that can only, it cannot be replicated. You can get up on stage and do like a monologue, or you can make a video over and over again and it could be the same. But the thing that I love about sex is, and the thing that makes me feel confident when I'm having sex, is that like what I'm giving that person and they're giving to me, it cannot be copy and pasted anywhere else in any other dynamic. And I'm like obsessed with that. I think that's so cool. And so I'm like, okay, like let's like hop in the stew and let's thing. It can be so creative. Like sometimes I do things that I'm like, what the fuck was, is that even sex? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't really know, but I don't know. I feel oddly really free these days, because I was so repressed as like a kid and just and a teenager, and I thought I was literally like inverted warthog, like ugly, disgusting, untouchable.
Reminds me of like what you were saying when we first met, and I like had this written down because I wanted to bring it up because I think it's an interesting concept of like you were saying that it was the first time in your life that you felt like you were gonna let the world treat you like you were a pretty
Pretty
girl.
girl.
And I think that's really interesting because also like I feel like you'll hear girls say that who have like the most beautiful energy and like you specifically have like star power to you. And I always assume that like with girls who I like perceive that way, like everyone's in love with them. So it's an interesting experience of like hearing someone like you like explain like as you had when we met that just like you hadn't been with that many people and like you were really just like a relationship girl, like a few relationships, which also makes sense to me like why we're all close friends because I feel like we're in that boat as well. But yeah.
Literally, shout out Venus and Capricorn.
When you said that too, it was just like really crazy timing because it was like us moving to New York. And I feel like, at least for me, like that was a big thing of like, I feel like I moved to New York and like realized that I was pretty once I got here. Like I never felt pretty in Philadelphia, which, yeah.
Don't think this really has anything to do with like how I look. It's just I wasn't really willing to compromise, and I don't know how, like my personality. And I think when you're younger, a lot of people who could be potentially interested in you can be like put off by someone who's just like not, I'm like kind of loud, like I'm into weird stuff. I like ran a Bill Hader blog for most of my teens. People weren't really ready to see me, and I wasn't also done. I wasn't done cooking, and I don't know if I'm done cooking. I would say maybe I'm close. Maybe the oven's at like, if I'm a cookie, the oven's at 350. They've been in for like 8.5 minutes. Like I would approach relationships and feel so happy that someone could even like me, because I was me, and I've always been told like I'm weird. And when you're a girl, I think especially, and you're called weird, that also is a really loaded gun with like a couple bullets in it. That's like, oh, weird, ugly, stupid, like you don't have to say it. It's just like that's what hits you and that's what you feel. And that's the way that I moved, and I got into a couple relationships where I was like felt a major exhale that got me kind of stuck, because I was like, okay, so this is the one person that can actually see me as like beautiful or something. But I think lately I've been letting the world kind of treat me as a pretty girl, and I've been moving that way, and it's really eye-opening and strange. But
I was just gonna ask, like, where you feel like that shift like happened. Was it like a mindset shift, or like was it a gradual thing, or do you?
I just kind of woke up one day, at the end of this winter, and I was like, I'm so young, like, why not use it? Like I'm also like I'm a fucking pervert. Like I'm a pervert. I'm really am. I really am. Like I'm a pervert. And why am I not putting the body that I have to use to get what I want? And I was really living in this mentality that was holding myself back from like desire and like pleasure, and those things are so important. And I'm 26. Like I should be, sucking 1,000 cocks and like I like truly like the like seriousness of this conversation, but the way you're explaining
I
it is
know,
like
it's just the way you,
no, but No, I don't really mean that.
No,
You know,
no,
I don't mean that. But it's like I should be like joking about that with my friends and moving with that air like I could if I wanted, you know? And yeah, I owe that to myself. I owe it to myself to fucking flash my panties and dance on the table. Like I really do. Like it's, I can't do that when I'm older. I mean, I can and I probably will, but it's better for me to try it now. I'll be so I can be a master then.
Well, I'm thinking about like if I had met you before, like, because I feel like me just like witnessing you online, it almost feels like those two things are very connected to me. Like, and like that feels like very like attached to like how I would perceive like your online persona and stuff. And I'm curious if you feel like that kind of like if almost like the online like self power came first and kind of influenced that mindset, like where those two things compare and like the separation between like online persona and like even just like obviously that like kind of opens up like a whole whirlpool of like different things, because I feel like there's much more than just like sexuality attached to that. But
Completely. I mean, I think I just started being sexy online like 6, 7 months ago, you know? Like I'm new. I think I've been sexy in real life for a little bit longer, but anyway, like sexiness aside, like the online self is something that I do think about a lot. She and I kind of zig and zag and meet in the middle. Never like made a decision that would be like, oh, my on like online self would never do this. Oh, I want to wear this because it would look cool online. Like, I think I've used the internet as a tool to kind of document my life and, you know, talk my shit, like do what I want, for a really long time. But I think lately I've kind of been reflecting on my digital footprint. I used to get super paranoid about it when I was doing TikTok stuff, but lately it's been kind of different. You know, I see it as like a very deep well. And you know, sometimes like wells will have water in them and it'll be great, and you can like throw that water in a garden and you can like watch it grow, or sometimes they're dry. And right now, I think I've given a lot of myself up to the internet, and I need a second to kind of like really, really, really think about it. Like I have a blog, and I'm kind of stepping away from it for a couple months just because
stepping away from the monthly newsletter?
I know. I know.
Oh my God, what are they gonna do? I saw the post and I was like, this can't be real.
I have to, I think it's just like I'm kind of approaching a moment in adulthood, I think, where I need to reassess things. And I don't know if the part of my brain that like is like, I'm doing this, I'm thinking about this thought, this is what, like, honestly, I don't think the analytical part of my brain can bend into that stuff right now. I think I need a second, which is weird. I'm sure I'll cave and like I'm sure, but like I don't know that the self and the internet, it gets so foggy for me, and right now I just need to like put it on a TV dinner plate and separate it just for a little bit. Not a long time. It's just I need a breather. I've been doing this since I was 14, more or less.
I kind of wanted to, like go back and just like ask about that from the beginning of like just if you could talk about your journey on the internet a little bit and like what, like who you grew up admiring, what communities you were involved in. And then this is also a separate question, but I wanted to ask it so I don't forget, like in the same vein of when we were talking earlier about like sex and like being afraid of sex when you were younger and stuff. I'm curious too of your like experience, like, because I also know like when you read the One Direction fanfic at the reading, like the Like that was like fanfic that I had like also written like similarly of like that torture porn. And I feel like a lot of my experiences regarding sex when I was younger were shaped around like talking to weird men on Omegle and Kick and like Wattpad and stuff. So I'm also curious like if you feel like your relationship with the internet impacted your relationship with sex.
Okay, I want to answer both of them.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to ask the second one because I knew I would forget it. I knew.
Let's put a pin in One Direction fan fiction. I was really lucky to have a babysitter growing up. Two people in my life, two babysitters. Morgan, who was my first babysitter. She was a scene kid, like always came into the house like head to toe in Hot Topic stuff. And she, already at like 7 years old, I knew that like I was not going to be good at school. I was always like a disruption in class. Like I both my parents are dyslexic. I was raised by dyslexics. Like I apparently have a bunch of learning disabilities, but I think it's really just indifference. Like I when Morgan, my babysitter, would come over, she would let me go in the computer with her, and she really liked YouTube, and she really liked the show Invader Zim, and she wanted to show me an episode of Invader Zim on YouTube, and is the first time I had seen that website, and I was like, whoa, like I could feel my brain working, and I felt purpose at a very, very young age, like with YouTube. And from there, I was on Neopets. She like taught me Neopets. I couldn't read anything on the website, but like so cute. I loved
Oh.
being around.
Oh.
Really into like Google Images. Like I discovered like I've never really watched a lot of anime, but like I just like love kind of the aesthetics of anime and like manga, and I would just like look at pictures of like anime girls all day. Like what like that's like what that's to a kid, like that's an angel.
Yeah.
Like, and I just became so obsessed and like in love with like having a box in my house that could show me whatever I wanted. And that's still so powerful to me. And then like I grew up, I'm from Jersey, but then I moved to North Carolina for a couple years and then moved back to Jersey. And like during my North Carolina period, my cousin Nikki would babysit me, and she had a blog, and she would let me like guest blog on her blog when I was
Ah.
nine. She started taking videos of me and putting them on YouTube. And being able to guest blog and then get the feedback of like a comment from somebody who I don't know, interacting with some like something that I'm putting out, it was like nothing still feels better to me than that. Like that is peak human interaction to me. Like to be able to like do a hands across the water to someone that you will never meet, like is just means the world to me, And she showed me, Nikki showed me Lily Allen music videos on YouTube. And then from there, like, and she showed me like of Montreal and like a bunch of music that was just so important to me when I was a kid that led me to Tumblr. And then when I was on Tumblr, I was, met with Molly Soda's work, a bunch of other stuff, but truly like Molly, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Like, if I'm not walking around giving Molly Soda her flowers, that was not me. Like, that just, like her work kind of being introduced to like Molly's world where everything is Molly and from Molly, and like was so inspiring to me because I was like, oh, okay, like she's documenting herself, but in a way that seems a lot more purposeful and interesting and expansive than, like, I don't know, reality TV or art that I had seen before. And Yeah, I also just being on Tumblr, I think, like, especially in my North Carolina years, really formative years, my like late elementary and middle school times, like I didn't really have any friends, which was hard for me, but also like I got to like study the blade. Like I read Downton Abbey and like Sherlock fan fiction. Like I passed out from like masturbating and like, yeah, like really important. And
Yeah.
like it's hilarious, but it's also really important. Like I was just, you know, the internet was like an IV into my arm, and I just don't think I would have survived without like the obsession that I had, like, with being online. And I'm a better person for it. Like, I think I understand like people a lot more than I could because I've had weird relationships with 40-year-old women who love a fictional character more than they could ever love their husband. You know, and like I've talked to them on Skype, you know, like I am so lucky that I had like a box like literally in my house that could bring me anywhere. And like talking about it like makes me, you know, emotional sometimes. You know, like when I got my first MacBook, I had a Dell Inspiron for a really long time. I actually have a cut on my hand from tripping over a wire in my dad's office when I was a kid, and my Dell Inspiron fell right here and cut me.
Oh my God.
Crazy machine. I have it somewhere in my room, but anyway, I remember when I got my first MacBook and I was so excited because iJustine made a video called
Oh
like
my
Bed
gosh.
Full of MacBooks, Bed Full of MacBooks. And I was like, oh my God, I get to sleep with my computer, my MacBook computer, like iJustine, and I still do every single night.
That
Oh.
like feeling of like being a kid and wanting a MacBook so badly too, like
Yeah.
I like remember so like I remember like the texture of like what it felt like to first have a MacBook. Like it
Even
was
just like wanting a laptop, because I remember like there was this book series that I was obsessed with, and the main character, Madison, had like an orange laptop and she blogged on her orange laptop. And I remember being 7 years old and I was like, that is all I want in this
no,
world.
that's
Like,
peak. Like
that's
I want
all I want.
that little.
Yeah.
But for like questions about sexuality and like stuff I kind of viewed on the internet as a kid and like how it kind of translates now, I don't know. I've always like liked boys kissing. I've always like loved it. Like I was talking to my roommate Taryn yesterday, and we were talking about the show The Other Two. Do you guys know The Other Two?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, there's like kind of like in the first season, the main character is like gay, and he has like this straight roommate who like makes out with him sometimes, and she's like, "Want to rewatch that? Like that part's so funny." And I'm like, "You think that's funny? Funny? It's really serious to me." But I think that fan fiction for young women is a lot safer than a lot of people think. I think it's actually really good. I was able to kind of figure out like dynamics that were interesting to me or like something like that, not even through porn, but through like the written word. And it gives you like more time to kind of like ruminate and think. Like porn's great, like Owen Gray's America Down, like whatever. But like I felt so much, I think, solace, especially as a tween reading fan fiction because things like porn were so intimidating. Like I don't think that I was actually ready to like see like cock and balls or something like that. Like I just wanted, even just a lot of the stuff that I did reach for like wasn't crazy. Like I really liked like the fluffy stuff, and like honestly, like that's all, everything aside, like that's kind of like what I'm like now. I like reading something. I loved reading like a Will They, Won't They, and like I loved reading something like about just like the longing of it all. And that was the stuff that really made me feel like I'll never say what it is, but the longest book I've ever read is a Downton Abbey fan fiction.
Oh my
Oh my God,
God.
stop.
Name it. Name it.
No, and no, it is, and I remember like my parents being out of the house, like maybe going to dinner or something, and I couldn't wait to like do my laundry and text to speech, like a chapter of a chapter of that fan fiction, because it wasn't the most sexual thing in the world, but it was just this kind of like beautiful story of two people who like couldn't really resist each other. And I love that. And like, I think fan fiction's really beautiful. And also, like, as I got older, moved back to Jersey and like was having sleepovers with girls in high school, like I would learn so much about them through like them showing me like MCR fan fiction or One Direction fan fiction. Like, I wasn't really into either of those things, but like I loved like the kind of like tropes and stuff that they found funny, and we would just like read them and like laugh our asses off. Like I think it kind of kept me experimenting safely.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's kind of abstinence vibes.
Well, I feel like so much of it also, like what you mentioned about just like laughing about it with your friends, like the camaraderie that exists inside that world is so interesting. Because about like being on Skype at like 3 a.m. and like whisper reading, like
Oh my
fucking like
God.
weird like Minecraft YouTubers like fan fiction. There was like this one specific one about like the cube, if anyone knows what that is. Two guys in it, like it turns out at the end that they're having sex with each other, and me and I remember like literally like crying, gasping with my friends about that fan fiction, like as we like live read it together. And there is just like, I think, an element to like bonding over humor that it actually is too. I also wanted to say this about like what you were saying earlier about like going to the internet and like just having this box in your room that connects you to anyone. And like what drew you in was like the fascination with just like getting that like response. Like I think it's so interesting because everything always seems to come back to just like this feeling of isolation and like how we get when we're isolated as humans, and just like anything like that just like gives us almost like just a response. Like all we want is just to like talk to each other and like connect. And but like always it's just the main thing that I feel like exists within like internet spaces.
I what you were saying about like the camaraderie made me think about like the Sherlock fandom. Deep breath.
That reminded me of the Sherlock fandom too.
Yeah, I mean, like, talk about people going through it together, like truly, I think one of the most miraculous phenomenons I've ever witnessed and been a part of, group psychosis, of like watching Sherlock as like a young person and being like so horny for these two kiss. Like, I've never kind of felt that way about anything else.
All my gay friends were like super in the short.
Yeah, it was
Like
because, and I've rewatched it back. Also, number one, the show's bad. And I thought it was like peak TV. The show is bad, but like it's they're gay. They're acting gay. They're acting like gay guys. Like I think that like it's so funny when I meet somebody in the in real life and we're able to kind of be like, oh, like were you on Tumblr? Like, what side of Tumblr were you on? And all of a sudden we can kind of hit like something that's like, oh, I see you more than I see you. I see right through you, you fucking liar. You're
Yeah.
a fucking freak. And like, you know, like I think it's really beautiful. And I miss Tumblr. There's not anything for me on there anymore, but I'm happy that I got to go through puberty in such an odd state. I feel blessed that I got to like discover so much music and watch so much weird TV and like, you know, type like squee with a bunch of E's out as a reply on like a picture of like Tom Hiddleston, who I couldn't give two fucks about.
Yeah.
whatever. I think it's really beautiful, and like, yeah, the internet like runs through me. And I really respect it also, just like as an energy that runs through all of us. Ever, we are all forever changed by it. Like, you can say that you hate the internet all you want, but sorry, like 50% of your DNA is a microchip.
No, literally. I just want to say this like one last thing about fan fiction, because the oh my God, I can't talk. The camaraderie
Camaraderie.
thing of like, I remember me and my friends being in like the library in elementary school, and like a new chapter of After just came out,
Oh
and
my
we were like
God.
sitting in the library like reading it on our phones, and then the librarian like came over and was like, "What are you guys like doing on your phones?" And we were like,
Nothing.
"We're reading a book. We're reading a book." And she was like, "Oh, that's awesome! Like, what book?" And we were like, "After." And then she like walked away, and we like laughed so hard to ourselves. Like, we thought it was the funniest thing ever that that just happened. I kind of want to just shift into like also like talking about like at what point did you kind of start to get a following on the internet? And also like, was it like when you were? It was before, because you went to Emerson also, which I want to talk about, but I don't know if that was before Emerson
I
or.
would love to talk about Emerson and Pop.
I
And also, I like where that, like, were you online, like, as being a child of DIY as well? Like, do you feel like that played into, like, the internet experience?
I would say kind of like me doing like DIY stuff really was kind of the start of me kind of experimenting more openly on the internet, because when I moved back to New Jersey, my hometown had, I think, like, still kind of has, but had a really amazing DIY scene for teenagers.
The meat locker.
Shout out Walker, shout out the Porchistas, shout out Gold Carson, shout out Rory McLeod, shout out Beth
Oh
Wilson,
my
shout out Infantilize.
God.
Like, I shout out Serendipity. Shout out Serendipity.
That too.
I was around a lot of kids who were making art and were really, really supportive, and like were fucking around on Photoshop making show flyers, you know? And were like, "Oh, Mackenzie, like, what if you tried putting this effect on like a picture on your Instagram?" And I was like, "Oh, okay," because like I was always super into like memes and like making videos. And I started making videos on my Instagram when Instagram started supporting video. And I would post them for my friends, like my friends that did DIY, like the girls that I ate lunch with. And then people would come up to me in the hallway and they would quote what I said in the video back to me, like people I didn't really know. But they weren't making fun of me. Like, they were like, you're hilarious. And I was like, okay. And I liked that because I started making bonds with people throughout like my school that I would have never known if I hadn't posted something, you know? But like similar to Tumblr and like talking to people on Skype and stuff like that, but it was real life. And I just didn't want to stop. I was really also into post aesthetics on Facebook. Which I met a few of my like longtime internet friends, like Enna Daw, Park Slope Arsonist, and I. We met on Post Aesthetics when I was like 15. But it was this interesting kind of balance of like people in my hometown being like, "Oh, Mackenzie does this weird thing on Instagram," and then people on the internet, I would share what I was making on Instagram on like Post Aesthetics or Tumblr. Like, as I got older, people on the internet kind of like, for lack of a better term, like yassing me. And like, I liked it a lot. It made me feel like I was doing what I was supposed to do, which was kind of talking about my life or showing my life on the internet, and not in an explicit blog way, and kind of these weird sporadic ways that I wanted to.
and I just kind of fell in love, you know, like really, really deeply, and kind of sharing online like that is just, it is the love of my life. And like with all relationships, like I do just have ups and downs with it. And around college decision time, you know, like I was a funny girl. I really got away with saying so much shit in class because I was funny as hell. And I was like, I'm gonna go to school for comedy. And the only place that you can major in it in the world at that point in time, unless you want to do like Commedia dell'arte in like Europe or like whatever, was Emerson in Boston. And
I didn't realize that was the only place that
there's
you
a you can get
could
a minor
get.
in comedy at the College of Chicago.
Okay. Does that make
Okay.
sense then that so many like
Yeah.
funny humans have gone to Emerson then?
Yeah, and I
Like
went to
Patrick, Ivy.
college with you know, like the podcast about List guys, their friend like Home Planet, those guys. But they were kind of older than me, so I didn't really we didn't really like know them, and I was also just like so afraid of upperclassmen, like but in my class of comedic arts students, this was post Vine, and I was never
Okay.
on Vine, even though people love to say that I was. I was not. Post Vine, pre TikTok, and a lot of people I went to school with didn't really understand what I was doing, and thought it was stupid, and that was really hard for me. It kind of drove me crazy because I believed in myself so much, and I came from such a supportive community in New Jersey, like with my DIY friends who just, you know, so sweet, so supportive with my like girlies that I hung out with, you know, everyone was so supportive. My parents also, despite like their flaws, like so supportive of me. And I went to college and I had people calling me stupid to my face about what I was doing.
Crazy.
And it really broke me. Like it really, really, really broke me. And I wanted to quit everything. They didn't understand why I didn't want to be a traditionalist and like work on my type five. Like I did stand up for 3 years in college and I liked it. I mean, I like telling stories, but like, I don't think I like kind of like the tweaking before you go on stage and like being like, like, I don't know if that's for me. I think I'm too much of a control freak to like love stand up. But Dumb Mackenzie, my TikTok name, is derivative of people calling me dumb in college. And so when 2020 rolled around, I was alone. I would get high in my apartment in Boston, and I just started making videos, and they just started going viral one after the other, after the other, after the other. And that's a lot for a 21-year-old girl who's high off her ass to like take in, you know?
Were the videos like the same type of thing you were posting to Instagram that people were calling you dumb for? Like it was like in the same vein, or do
Yeah,
you feel like it was
yeah,
more
yeah, yeah.
adapted for like
And
TikTok?
yeah, I've like honestly, I've deleted a lot of that stuff just because I'm like, it's not really the shit I want to be showing people. But I was shocked because I thought I was stupid and I was doing like the wrong thing. And TikTok was a real era, like for me. I was a early kind of adopter. You know, I was on there from 2020 to like 2023, like 3 years. Yeah, I gained a massive following on there. I used to make videos with my face, and then I just started posting my teenage diary just because Honestly, I think I'm kind of fragile and I don't really, I'm learning as an adult, I don't really enjoy the camera so close up in my face and like that image being able to be in people's pockets like whenever they want. I don't really love that. I might feel better about it at some other time, but yeah, I started posting my diaries and that was really freeing for me because I didn't have to be so, you know, face forward. And from the diary stuff, I was like, okay, like people are connecting with a younger version of myself. I wonder if people will like my writing as an adult. And then I just like started my blog. And yeah, I've just shared a lot of information about myself online, even though I think I am oddly private. Like, I think if you know me like personally, it's like I am very open, but there's kind of a give and take, I think. But yeah, it's like a lifelong thing. I don't know what I'm gonna do next with it. I'm gonna return to my blog, obviously. But like I don't know what I'm gonna do next. I'm interested to see if there's like other platforms that I can just like kind of freak it on. But yeah.
I'm curious with Emerson, like, with it being this like creative place and like these like really cool minds coming out of there, like, do you feel like it followed you to the creative world at all? Because I feel like here, like, having moved to New York, I'm always feeling like Philadelphia has followed me here, and like random just like DIY people like pop up and like certain things like become meaningful and it like all makes sense in my head in this way. And I was curious if you had a similar experience at all with that.
For sure, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of people from Emerson in New York, people that I want to see. Like, you know, the people that I don't want to see didn't make it. You know, and I'll, okay. A lot of what's kind of propelled me, I think, forth was a fight that I had with a male roommate of mine, a straight guy, mistake living with a straight.
Yeah, you don't want to do
And the
that.
story of us is long and kind of crazy, and I was also very unwell. He told me at Emerson during this point, I'm already like, I was also just like, I've made zines forever. I was like putting zines out and like doing my internet stuff. And he told me that his problem with me was that I had childish dreams and I didn't make anything, which I've had a lot of shit happen to me, but for a really long time, that would kind of live in the back of my head. And it kind of just made me want to become like a rocket. You know, that guy that said that, I haven't seen him in years. He tried to move to New York and it didn't work. And at the end of the day, he has a girlfriend that's named Mackenzie.
Oh my God.
He does. And I think that's
That's amazing
lit.
to me. That's
That's
amazing.
incredible.
Yeah. And
I think that's an interesting thing of like, I feel like a lot of the people who I admire the most or like who have done the most like magical things have been fighting against this weird like force, this weird like oppressive force that seems to just like want to push them down
yeah,
for, and it
I'm a
seems like a
victim of oppression.
long thing. What'd you say?
I'm a victim of oppression.
Well,
It's weird
yeah.
how things like that can just like live in your brain. Not even like live in your brain, but just like be the reason. Because I remember I had a
Yeah,
similar
like in
thing
your
of like,
subconscious.
yeah, like being in like elementary school and like some guy like said that I like didn't do anything. And like I think about that like a lot. Like I thought about that a lot in college and stuff. And I feel like that's the reason for a lot of the things I've done, which is crazy.
It's literally insane. And then, you know, I turn around and like I lurk these people's pages and I'm like, oh, so you're just starting on your TikTok in real life.
Yeah, no,
Right.
literally.
Like the boy that said that thing to me, it really hurt me. And I do have vengeance and evil for him. And maybe like, I don't know, like a packet of anthrax or something. Like, but also I'm like, yeah, what else is he supposed to say? Also, I was a massive bitch to him. So like fair.
Yeah.
It's really fair. And sometimes when you're young, all you can do is be mean to things that you don't understand. And a lot of, and I've done it to people, and people have done it to me.
Kind of related to that, I wanted to ask you about you moving to LA at the end of your college career, like when you went online for COVID. I don't know how much you want to talk about, so we can like cut anything
Oh,
that you don't want to.
I really don't care. I can talk about all of it.
Okay. But yeah, I think your experience of like moving straight to LA after dealing like with really rough like home environment stuff is really interesting because to me, like similar to that like scenario, like in like structure, like just makes sense to me about who you are as a person because I'm like, okay, you like went through this like really hard thing and you just like came out stronger, like putting it very like simply. But I don't know, it just like put a lot of understanding to me behind like who you are, like because I feel like your entire just like how you come off is very like headstrong and very like encompasses a lot of self-power, like between the things you've accomplished, like how confidently you post and write, and like the level of like intuition that is behind a lot of like the advice that you share, like it one-on-one, just like when we talk, and also like on Substack, with like your like blog posts. So, like a lot of like the most impressive and magical things come into formation after like experiencing like psychotic things in your life. And I'm curious if you can talk a little bit about that, like how, like what it was like to like try and survive in LA after moving from home, and if you want to like go into detail about that at all, because I think it's like an
I'm
interesting
so
story.
down. I'm so
Yeah.
down. My family kind of dispersed when I was like 19, really violently, like crazy. Like I've seen sides of my parents that have made me really dislike them, hate them, you know? I got kicked out of my house in 2020, after witnessing an act of adultery. And like that's like really just what I can say. Like I there's other stuff, and like I think I'll talk about it in some capacity at some point, but I witnessed something, and my I couldn't not say anything. And that was kind of the rising action to me leaving the East Coast. Basically, I saw one of my parents cheating on the other parent at a socially distanced birthday party. Kim Petras was playing when
Yes.
this
Oh my
happened.
God.
I decided
Perfect.
to get my phone, and I turned the corner and I saw something that I literally would never forget. And I watched it for 10 minutes, like really. And they didn't see me, but I saw them. I brought it up to my other parent, and I was like, this is what I saw. I don't know what you want to do. And during that time, also, one of my parents was very sick, with cancer. So it was just, it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. Like my life was just completely blown apart. Like up was down, down was sideways was sideways in the other direction. Like I was like, oh my God. My parents tried to reconcile, and they basically told me, Mackenzie, like, you are the reason our relationship is so awful. Don't come home. So I went back to Boston.
Which is like you're a child.
I
Like,
know, I know, I know. But I went back to Boston, and at the time, I was making a zine called Evil Pervert. And I used the money that I got from Evil Pervert to pack up all my stuff and ship it across the country to LA, where my friends were living in an Airbnb. And I ended up living in LA for 3.5 years because of that, with no real plan or idea of what I had to do. I had a semester left of school. I moved the day after my 22nd birthday, I think, which is right before Christmas. So around New Year's, later that week, the week I moved, I get a call from a family friend that tells me that one of my parents attacked my other parent with a 15-pound weight and broke their nose. And I was like, well, I'm happy I left, even though I felt like I was up a creek without a paddle. And my parents from then started a divorce that lasted years. Like they just finally got divorced recently. And I was in LA and I was posting on TikTok and I worked at a thrift store and I didn't drive and I took Bird scooters everywhere, like Bird scooters on the fucking highway. Like, and I just survived. Like, I just survived. Like, I don't know really how I did it. I was so poor. Like I, my parents fought in divorce court for years and neither of them have like anything anymore, you know? So I was nothing. I had nothing and I was a new adult in the world with thrift store money and living in Los Angeles and it was hell, but it was also kind of heaven in the same way because I was free. I had lived my life for so long, under the shadow of kind of my parents' like drama that like I was free and I was the happiest I'd ever been. I was so scared, but I was so happy to just, even though like, like there were days where I like only ate chicken tenders, like, but I was happy and I could leave my house and I could breathe air and I could go upstairs and see my neighbor car, her bulldog and her like face tattoos, or like sit with her on the curb and watch her smoke a like menthol, talk about how much our lives suck. But it was like heaven, like it was heaven. And I had to grow up really fast. But I feel like lately, after moving to New York, I'm finally sinking back into like, I think I'm becoming an adult, but I feel like I'm finally becoming my age again. Because for a moment there, I was like 40,
And I feel like that also in combination with like then blowing up for like childhood nostalgia, like diary entries is really interesting to me because I'm like, oh, if you wonder like what you're then like looking for there, which make I mean we're all always looking for nostalgia and everything, but then like that holds like a totally different meaning to
Yeah,
me, like hearing that story.
I have stuff I haven't shared just because it's like scary, I'm not really ready to like, I want to repair stuff with my family also. They know though that I'm gonna blow up their spot. Like they know that I am. Because my parents are very supportive, despite kind of their stuff. I don't think I could be this person if my parents weren't so supportive. I'm being so fucking loud. Like, it's just ultimately like I am who I am because my parents used to let me stay at like cocktail parties way too late, And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all of the coats that I fell asleep on top of.
No, but I also can't like imagine how that just like has probably warped your brain.
Like the thing you were saying earlier about how it like makes sense, like seeing you and then like knowing that about you, 'cause I feel like there's like certain people, like my one friend from Philly who like had kind of a similar experience of like her just like growing up, and it like makes a lot of sense in the way that her energy is, and I feel like you guys have a very similar energy
Also,
spiritual
just the
way.
crazy stuff that I think it makes you open to, like you getting like a write-up in the New York Times. Like, it's like, and like, obviously, that's not like the only impressive thing about you and not really the thing that matters, but it's just like stuff like that, I think, happens when you like get op like almost like broken open in this way, and you wouldn't have been open to these things otherwise.
I feel like I, in college, I went through a really dark period right before my family kind of dissolved, where I was put into McLean psych ward in Boston, which is like honestly like I rep it hard because it's a very kind of famous.
That's like the iconic psych ward. Like, if you're gonna go to a
Iconic
psych
psych
ward,
ward.
that's the
You
psych
go
ward
to
you wanna go
the
in.
psych
I
ward.
remember being like a kid, like when I
Famous
was like
psych
11
ward.
years old, and being like, oh, I wanna go to this psych ward. Like,
McLean.
take me here.
That's
Cause
well, it's like
so.
the Bell Jar, Sylvia Plath went there, and Girl Interrupted is based off of McLean as well. But, like, I believe this, and I do think I was like misdiagnosed with BPD when I was there. And I think it's truly just because life moves through me in a way that is so destructive. Anyone would be acting fucking crazy. Like, I really am a big feeler. Like, I don't have any choice but to like feel everything. I just sometimes things happen to me and it's like the whole foundation of my house. I feel every single brick of my body just like shake, and I feel it, and I feel like how that brick was laid there, and I feel like the it crack a little bit, and I think I'm getting better with it as I'm getting older, but there were some very, very dark years, like at the end of my teens and in the beginning of my 20s, that I haven't even begun to kind of reflect on, but it has made me who I am. And I kind of stand in awe of the person that like I was then. I think she's so resilient, and I don't know if I have it in me to bring that girl out, anytime soon, but I know she's in there, and I'm thankful for her getting me somewhere. And yeah, I think she's amazing.
You must be really proud of yourself. I mean, even just for moving out of that place in life you were and into where you are now, like you have like so much love in your life and
No, I
so
have
many
like the best
amazing
friends
people.
ever,
And
you
like,
guys.
also, you've just become an amazing freaking woman.
It's
Like,
true.
I mean, like, also, it's like, I think like the term chosen family is like corny. But also, just like sometimes when things are corny, they're corny because they're so real. I am so thankful to have collected the people that I have over these years. Like, my roommate Taryn, who is just like my, like, again, something corny, is like, that's my rock. I
aw.
can say like, yeah, that's like my best friend, like whatever. Like, no, like I actually could not do anything hard without her. I really can't. Like, she and I moved. I met her at the end of kind of living in LA. We lived in LA together for a year, and then I was like, let's move to New York. We had no money and like the heaviest suitcases in the world, and we moved here together. And that's beautiful. And I have her back. She has my back. Like people like Ivy, who I met her in the back of a comedy club years ago when she was like literally a little teenager, and I was like, "What the fuck are you doing here, girl?" And that's like my little sister. Like I really like also just like one of my best friends in the whole world. Like. I and that's she came from the internet. Taryn, my roommate, she also basically came from the internet. We met at an art show, but like the internet got her to me in a way. And like, yeah, I mean, these are the people that I spend holidays with, and people who know me, like Adam from Adam and vice versa, like I'm really so lucky. I'm surrounded by like so much love. And also, like meeting you guys, it's like so exciting and fun. Like, I fucking love having you bitches in the mix. And like, it's
Oh, I'm gonna
like
cry.
my other roommate, Blizzy, who like will just be like a sister for fucking life. Like, it's beautiful. I feel so just like cushioned by this specific type of love. Might not have had the proper kind of stuff at the time that I needed it from my family, but I feel so grateful to have my cup like runneth over now. And I have so much to give in return, you know, like people give me so much love that I'm like throwing it up everywhere.
Yeah, I feel like it's also seen because, like, even just like us when we came here, like, it felt like you were a little bit of a mother to us, you know? Like, I feel like you were like the first, like, girl who we like became friends with who we didn't already know, really, you know? Like,
But we had never like talked online or like interacted and like,
Yeah, I'd seen your stuff though, and like I'm very like if I see someone from the internet that I want to talk to, I'm gonna be like, hi.
yeah.
And
No.
I just can't help it because I know I just knew, you know, like you just know.
Yeah.
And I'm
Yeah.
so anti like cool guying people and stuff like that. I think it's so overrated. Like
Funny, because I remember I was like so drunk at that party and I came up to you and was like, I think we follow each other on Instagram. And then Brittany was in the
like,
bathroom
yeah.
and then she came out and then I was
No, because
like,
we saw you walk in and we were like,
yeah.
oh, we need to talk to her.
And then
We were like,
Brittany
we
was in
have
the
to talk to her
bathroom.
right now.
And when you came out and I told you that I had like just like came went up to Mackenzie and said that, and then your like eyes got this look and you were like,
I
I
was
need to
like,
talk to her too. Like,
I'll
where
be
is she? You were
No,
like,
I'm
let me
always
in.
down to key. I'm always down to key. Like, I really
That
am. Like,
was also such a sweet night. Like, it's so weird that, because that feels like years away from
it was
where I am
not. Maybe it
now.
was yesterday. Maybe it was
It
yesterday.
literally
It's
was.
I'm learning it was yesterday.
Crazy. Also, when you were like talking about like the people in your life, for some reason, I just started like imagining, like, you know, in Instagram bios where like it used to be like you'd be like mom at like blah 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 at, and sister like with an emoji, like I don't know why, but that was like the image that went with you saying that to me.
It's really true though. It's really true. Like also just like the internet really, I can fight with it all I want. We are in a relationship, you know? This joke that I'm like a phone psychic where like if something's in my phone, it will like appear in my real life in like a very strange way in like a couple days. So like sometimes if my friends are trying to like bring a guy forth or like a job, like they'll make me Google it or like them or like look at photos of them like on my phone.
That's
Oh my
awesome.
God, I
But
love
honestly,
that.
okay, I
Okay,
have some boys to show you
yeah,
tomorrow. Like,
send them to me.
we
Send
can
them to
meet at
me.
Little Canal and I'll just
Oh my
show you some
God.
boys on my Instagram if that's
Yeah,
okay.
no, it's really crazy though. It does sometimes come through. But also,
No, I believe
I guess
it.
that's just how the world works. But I like that. Amongst my friends, I have that rep. I think it's really funny.
So
Like,
open your Instagram right
oh my
now
God.
and
Type
type
in.
in the letter M. And then the letter A, and then the letter. Okay, sorry. Anyways, what did I have to say? What? Okay. So yeah, you were in the New York Times.
Yeah, do you want me to go on that?
But okay. So I do want to talk about the diary entries. Like, I feel like that's kind of what you're known for.
So in New Jersey, I have pink hair. I'm 16. I'm rocking an American Apparel tennis skirt. I'm DIY down, DIY or die.
Yes.
You know, like shot like literally like shotting like a cab, like fucking.
Yep.
You know, some of my guy friends, like during this period of time, were like, I'm wearing a safety pin because I'm safe.
Oh my God.
I'm wearing a
Okay,
safety
we have to bring that back.
pin. No, we do not.
We have to.
I was like, I want to do a show in my town where me and my friend Simone read from our diaries, and we're going to call it Dear God, It's Us.
Oh, I
And
love that.
we got a bunch of other kids to read their middle school diaries, and we did it like three times. And I had always known that my diaries like worked, I always think they're really funny. And like when I'm very upset, I used to go through and read them. And I just like kind of hit a weird rut with like TikTok stuff. And I just decided to post one. And people like really liked it. And then I just started posting them again and again and again and again. And it was insane. Yeah, I was lucky enough to meet this like incredible journalist, Anna Cody, who's just like literally a fucking superstar. She's so cool. Everyone should follow her on Instagram. Yes, she's a reporter for the New York Times, but she's like, and a writer, a journalist, like whatever. She does it all. She's also just like so cool and like stunningly gorgeous and interesting. And she wrote a profile about me. And it came out the day I moved to New York.
That's crazy.
Came out right before I got on the plane. And it changed my life, I think. Yeah, I at the time before I moved, I was working at a Goodwill in Hollywood, and I worked from open to close for about 5 months because I knew I was moving. And it was a Goodwill across the street from my house, so I was able to like go to sleep on breaks. I worked from open to close, and then at night, Taryn, my roommate, and I, who we would get $6 pho across the street and watch an episode of Girls and like pass out. And the whole time I was working there, I knew that this profile was going to come out, which was like a really strange juxtaposition to straddle because I was like cleaning up actual shit on in the bins. Like truly, like there's really scary stuff in Goodwill bins, like in the back, like pee, cigarette, poop, like really crazy stuff. And the whole time I knew that this article was gonna come out.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
And it was bizarre, and I knew I was moving, and I kind of just got on the plane and like never looked back to like that version of myself. And I mean, I do look back, I think about it a lot, but my life really did change when I moved here. I think my first year living here was like a little rocky, but I really like how strange the timing of it all.
Yeah,
Well,
that's really weird.
like, what did that feel like? Because you were a child online. Like, what did that feel like in terms of just like everything that had led up to that moment and just like what you had accomplished online? Like, do you feel like it brought it to or caused it to feel more real? And also, just like, I'm curious in terms of like it surrounding the diary entries and like just what that meant to you in terms of nostalgia. And like it blew up for a reason on TikTok. Like people love nostalgia and people like are so fascinated by just like also that like time of life too, because it was like pre-internet, I guess. And I'm curious what you think about that and like what you think was so appealing about it.
I mean, they're really funny.
They are really
That's
funny.
literally my answer is like they're really funny. They're really funny, and kind of that type of adolescent shame is timeless.
Yeah. I'm curious, were you ever like afraid, like with those entries, but also just like with like content that you post online of like you just like being like very like intimate and like open, honest, and confessional? Like, do you ever get afraid of posting anything online?
Yeah. I'm kind
Or
of
even just like videos of you,
thinking
like, I
about
mean.
that stuff right now, kind of in my head. In my heady. I do get afraid, but I don't really do a lot of stuff that makes me feel scared. And also, I think my work is very selfish. I think people need to interact with my work, thinking that way. Because I am doing all this because I want to look at it later. I think I'm pretty good at like keeping myself out of like situations that burn me with like what I say online, except I mean recently, like I wrote an article that people are kind of angry with me about,
Yeah, I
but
was gonna bring this up.
yeah, people were kind of angry with me about having too much fun in a gentrified part of Chinatown.
Yeah.
which
So is
I
everyone, though.
but
It's not
I
just.
but I totally understand, but also download the app and read the full article. Also, I'm a stupid, crazy girl. Like, and I think people weren't, it wasn't really clicking for them, but that's totally fine. If I'm gonna put something out in the world as a stupid, crazy girl, I'm gonna get treated like a stupid, crazy girl. I deserve it. But I don't know if I don't know. Sometimes I will lay in my bed at night and think about something I posted 3 years ago and be like, oh my God, it has to go down right now. Like, I can't. I can't. Someone's looking at it. I can't. I can't. But
Yeah.
do you think about it a lot in like a parasocial sense? Like, do you feel like you've developed that really thoroughly with like your following? Like,
No. No.
yeah.
Inter
They,
yeah.
because I feel
Really?
like you've told me there's certain things that you kind of just like you're actually pretty private about, you know?
Yeah, there are things that I am really private about, but I don't, because I don't know, I'm really close with Ivy Wolk. I'm really close with Ivy Wolk. I'm really close with a bunch of other girls. Like I'm good friends with Rain, like Rain Fisher Kwan. Like I see how people treat them, but it's like I think I don't really have like a mystique around me. So people just like don't care. Like
I don't know
only
if
people
I.
really care. No,
Like, I feel like I disagree with that, maybe, but.
yeah.
People, I don't know why. People really aren't pressed about like what I'm actually doing. Like I think 'cause I'm always kind of talking about it in some way or another, but like people aren't really pressed about what I'm doing so far. And I'm thankful for it. I feel like I would get a couple really funny DMs out of it, but like I don't really feel the parasocialness. Like I think during the diary stuff it kind of got to that point, but like I've retracted. People are pretty normal to me. Like when I meet girls that read my stuff or like follow me on Instagram, like they're usually girls I want to hang out with, and I sometimes like get their numbers and like I do.
And
I'm
that I think
really
makes you
thankful.
normal.
Yeah.
I'm really, really thankful for the people that have like kept up with me over the years. I like them a lot.
Yeah,
I
that's
do.
interesting though. Oh,
Oh,
no, you're good. I was just gonna
sorry.
say that's interesting with like what creates that around someone versus like someone else. Like what you were
Me, I
saying
feel like
about
you
Ivy
do
and
have
Rain.
that, like, or maybe it's in a different way, like in a specific New York type of way, because I've had a few people, like, I feel like come to me and be like, can I'm Mackenzie Thomas. And I'm just like,
Yeah.
oh, I didn't know that this was like that, but like, okay,
Yeah.
interesting.
I think also like at the end of the day, I'm an everyman. Like at the end of the day, like I can dress the way I want to dress, but truly I should be working at some general store somewhere and like running an Instagram about the inventory. Like that's essentially what I'm doing. Like I'm an everyman. Like I should be on a ladder with a hammer, honestly. I like, yeah.
Ask about with this because I wanted to talk
No,
about the
I was
next
gonna.
article also.
Okay, yeah.
Were you gonna ask somebody more about it?
No, I was gonna shift to something else, but
Okay.
not the Times Square article, but
Okay,
something
we
else.
gotta get to
But
that.
something else. Yeah,
Okay.
get to the Times Square and then
Now
we'll get to this
let me
other
talk to you about
thing.
the Times fucking
Okay.
article.
Okay.
Mackenzie Thomas, a gentrification supporter.
The queen
Yeah.
of. You are
They're real
single-hand.
mad at
Wait.
me.
Wait,
Oh,
how does it feel
the
to be
police
the
are here.
person
They're arresting you for
single-handedly causing
gentrifying the
gentrification?
fucking Chinatown.
Feels bad. It feels bad.
Yeah, you fucked up. No, I'm just kidding.
It feels really bad, and it feels really bad.
Specifically, what from the article, like the reaction's interesting, but it's kind of just like I feel like people being a little being
Oh,
reactive.
well, my friend Nicole said to me something that kind of really helped me. She was like, I didn't know Hyson Abaidi had 5 million followers on Instagram.
That
And I
is
was like,
interesting.
5 million people interacting with my work. That's never supposed to happen, especially the work that I write. I mean, like it's not,
But
and
I
it's
didn't think it was anything crazy, honestly. Like,
I think that
but 5 million's a lot of people.
yeah, it makes sense that no matter, like, with that audience, people are gonna get
I
angry.
think also a lot of it has to do with the reflex that you hit when you're holding your phone and your neck is hunched over. That's not a normal way to stand. If you actually think about the way that you're standing, you have your hand out and your neck hunched over. That's not too far from you're about to fight. And so I feel like anger does come easy when you're posted up like that. Like, I also just feel like people have a lot of feelings about gentrification, which are like so valid, but me having fun this summer has nothing to do with the fact that the building that A&N fruit stand is located being sold.
Exactly.
It doesn't have anything to do with that, but I don't think that the people that are actually mad like read the actual article. And if they did, they're just like, I can't pray for them to understand like the nuance of like my tone. I tell people all the time, you can't pray for nuance on the internet. You cannot. And so I understand it. I've accepted it. I don't love being called racist, but I know what the article is, and I'm a very, 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 not even a fish. Like, I am like not even a penny. Like, I'm a piece of sediment that was tossed inside a pool. You know, like, I'm nothing. And so, like, sorry. They wanted it to be a piece. My editor was like, they wanted it to be a piece about like a local kind of watching their neighborhood change. And that's not what the piece is. It's about me kind of exploring like the depths of my hypocrisy and like what the shit that kind of has made me like turn a blind eye to like a couple of my morals.
Well, I think a lot of people are in the same shoes is the thing. So that's why I found the article really interesting of like people being like, what the fuck is this bullshit downtown scene? Like, this is so annoying to me. And then like having the same experience of as you specifically about like your perception of that, because I know you went into it in the article, but I feel like maybe you had like there's more to say, or like I'm curious just like in terms of like the downtown scene, like for anyone who didn't read it, like how you feel it's like
I
intertwined with
used
like
to feel
your
very, there's more, yeah. I used to feel very kind of opposed because I think I was like in a relationship that made me afraid of the world, which is something that I don't talk about in the piece. And I just want to kind of leave it at that. And I think I was an outsider for most of my life. And when I don't understand something sometimes, which we talked about earlier on the podcast, about not understanding something, you meet it with aggression instead of like being able to like dive head first and like actually see things for what they are. And I think this summer I was hanging out there and seeing things for what they are. And it's just a place. It's just a place. And you know what? And it's like I'm meeting all of these people that like I've heard like online fables about, and it's really not nothing. And also it's nothing. And I also like there's online fables about me. I feel really indifferent to the place. I like hanging out there. And I don't think that's like a crime. And I think it happened to me. Like, this assignment came to me in a time in my life where I really needed to be reminded that I'm like young.
Not to bring it back to Sabrina, but I was watching an interview with her this morning, and she was talking about like with her music, how like it's not for everyone, how she like doesn't care if Tommy from Arkansas like doesn't like her songs.
Yeah,
Never mind any of
no,
that.
exactly. Like, I know that I'm not for everyone. I don't want to be for everybody. Imagine how fucking tired I would be if I was for everybody. Talked earlier about sucking a thousand cocks. Like, I'd be so tired. Like, if I was for everyone, I wouldn't be someone that I'm proud to be. The response. But. And it was also something that I w haven't been really used to in a really long time because I walked away from TikTok. It's a lot for me to get. I love a feedback loop, but to be able to be like everywhere is a
Yeah.
lot, I think.
Yeah.
And I like was like, oh my God, I don't like this. And it made me really scared. And I had like a 24-hour period where I was fucking tweaking, like, and acting like a massive bitch, and kind of second guessing kind of everything in my life, and like even just like interpersonal stuff. Like, I felt so shaken by the response, but it also just like comes with the job. And I have to remind myself of that. And I'm really tough. It's just, I can't be tough every day.
Yeah. Do you feel like that was part of what was causing what you mentioned earlier when we were talking about contemplating, like going off, like taking a break from the blog and also contemplating like what you want to be sharing?
Yeah, I mean, I think taking a break from the blog, that had the kind of response to the article had something to do with it, and like some medical news like I received earlier this month also has to do with it. I just need time to kind of be with my body. I think like there's a hamster wheel aspect to making things online, especially right now. Especially right now where it's just short form circus. Like, I want this one person to be doing the thing that I like for me every single day until they die. You know? And my life started changing a lot in the past 8 months. And I wasn't able to savor it completely. You know, I write because I want to savor things, but sometimes it doesn't always work that way. And then I'm like, shit, I have to make content. And I don't like thinking like that. That's why I'm not on TikTok anymore. It's like, I don't like that part of my brain to be on all the time. I think I can do it in short spurts, but like, I'm always kind of fighting this internal war because I want to be online, but also it's like I'm giving to the giving tree. Oh, like I'm giving to the giving tree. And sometimes it gives back, and sometimes it tells me that I'm being a racist.
Thing that I want to ask about, Brittany. I don't know if you had other things, but I wanted to ask about like just like the things you do also outside, like with organizing things like the eGirl Summit and other social media events. I wanted to kind of ask about that, and what that's like, just like being someone who grew up on the internet and then having that success now, and then also just like forming ideas for things that isn't like fully yours, or like it is, but it's like yours, like in partnership with other people, and like what that's like creatively for you.
I was never great at school, like I said before, and I wasn't awesome in college either. But I've always been really good at the internet, and I realized kind of around age 24, like 2 years ago, that I could do strategy work for people and do like social media freelance stuff. I feel like I always sound so boring when I'm talking about it. But I did a project with Meta, with Instagram, earlier this summer, where I was like, guys,
You need to do an e-girl summit.
Yeah.
Bring all of us together. And it was really, really self-centered of me to, because I just want to be in a room with all of you guys and watch you be happy. And like, it's beautiful that like I can kind of like show myself out and like kind of bring people together on the low. But like, yeah, I'm thankful that I've been able to like pay my rent over the past couple years here and there with just like a like random jobs that really use my mind, like doing strategy stuff or like PR stuff or like casting stuff. Like I learned all of that because I was so online for so much of my life. And I'm so happy that I found something because like I didn't know what I was gonna do when I graduated college, and this is keeping me afloat, and it makes me feel smart, and I feel like I'm actually like contributing to something, you know?
Yeah, I also feel like we're at a stage in like work and life and everything where like the world's kind of run by former fan accounts and just like former like online girls and things like that. And I feel like that is just like such like a small representation of that to me.
I just also with the work I do kind of beyond the behind the scenes, like the work that like actually like keeps me alive and like keeps me living in New York, like I just want the internet to like win, you know? I want to bring people forward who are actually like so talented and amazing and incredible, and I want to like be able to put them places or put them in scenarios that can like make their life better. Like I just really have so much to give to the community that has raised me. You know, like even though like I just met you guys like earlier this summer, and like, but you know, you guys also were pushing the internet along when you were tweens, and in a way, like we raised each other. And it's really important to me. And I will stop at nothing until we all have $1 million. You know? And we all have like a beautiful one bedroom apartment in New York City
That's
on the
all. Lower East Side in
maybe
the
not the Lower East Side.
gentrified neighborhood.
Yeah, but thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah,
I feel
thank
like
you
this is like the
guys.
only 2-hour episode we're not gonna edit down.
I know,
Like I would
literally.
think about
I
anything of
can't
it.
wait. I can't wait. I wonder who will listen to the whole thing.
Oh my God, tell us if you're
Like,
still listening.
those if you're
Oh
still
my
listening.
God, comment down below.
Wait, comment down below.
Tell us who you think's the prettiest girl in the room and
No,
kiss
I
her.
say
Kiss
all three
the
of them. I
prettiest,
want all three.
kiss the prettiest girl in the room if you are still listening.
Poland Springs if
If you're still watching.
Do you want to know the like questions that we had written
Oh
down
my
that like
God.
were from when we first planned that were like joke questions? Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, that we were gonna
Are
start
we
the
still
episode
recording?
with.
So you grew up in New Jersey, then you moved back to North Carolina in the second grade, and then you moved back to the same town in New Jersey in high school? Yeah, that's really
Question mark,
cool.
question mark, question
That's
mark,
cool. That's
question
cool.
mark.
What do you
Yeah,
think of being
girl,
a
I
girl?
did.
What
Isn't
do you think of being a girl
that
in girlhood? Oh my God, you're just a girl. What do you think of being just a girl? Also,
wacky?
what's it like to have the
Nothing.
username Mackenzie, like at Mackenzie?
Oh my
Like, that's so
God.
cool. Wait, can I buy that off you? Can I buy your username? How much are you selling it for?
Wait, actually though, Mackenzie from Dance Moms, her fans used to try to buy my username so they can have
Oh.
ultimate fan page for the longest time.
That
Oh
makes
my
so much sense.
God.
That
Wait,
makes
what
so
is
much
her
sense to me.
Instagram
Like
account?
Mackenzie
Like
Ziegler or
Kenzie
whatever.
Ziegler. Oh,
Anyway, so one last thing we have her everyone do.
I'll
We have
put
everyone
it up.
say this thing at the end.
I've seen it
Do you think you could do it if we didn't send it, or should we
about
send it?
Josh. I don't know him. I don't like know about him.
Oh, well, you should learn about him.
Okay. His last name is pronounced Avaye. Josh Avaye, get on the podcast. Bye.
Yes. That's exactly what we have
Perfect.
people say.
Perfect.
It
Hang tomorrow,
does.
maybe, or
I think maybe, yeah. I think maybe, what's tomorrow?